Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tuesday Morning Podcast. Thank you all for joining me today. It's the 5th of January 2021. Here we are in the new year, hoping that everything probably would have been quite different now, but it seems like we've gone back to square one. For those of you who are living in the UK, you probably know that the announcement yesterday has caused us a lot of stress. It's caused us a lot of us to rethink and replan what we had in mind for the next few months. I was supposed to record this podcast yesterday, but I knew that with this announcement, things would start changing. My plans would have to be readjusted. And to be honest, I needed a bit of time to process this information. And I think I kind of expected it. And it was on Sunday night when I started reading about the rise in cases, and I spoke to a lot of my colleagues working in the hospital, and I saw the reality of what's happening on the floor again. It seems like it's much worse than it was last year. I've just realized that I've started this podcast on a very negative note. So you know what? I'm not gonna stop, delete, and start again. We'll just carry on from here. But I hope you've all had a restful holiday. I'll go back to what I was saying a bit later on in the podcast. We'll make this from happy to sad rather than from sad to happy. but I hope you all had a nice rest with your family, if it was possible at all. In our case, we didn't have that luxury. I was hoping that my parents would be here, or at least Nishant's family would be able to come around. But this new strain of COVID is so deadly. You can really just catch it anywhere. I'll go into that a bit later. But I can't risk it now, because obviously I've got Radhika with me. So I had to put all my needs to one side and sort of just get on with it. Because it's that kind of thing that you think, right? Like you ran this marathon and you're almost at the end. Why do you want to give up now? But with all the news that's sort of simmering and boiling up now, you just feel like this will never end. And honestly, that's how I felt. I've been feeling really run down and really quite exhausted. It's just one of those things that nobody really tells you when you start campaigning, and I wish somebody had. I mean, people did tell me, but it's just, you know, you don't realize until you actually go through it. It's like being a parent. I mean, you just say, yeah, I can breastfeed, I can clean up, my house will be spotless. And then until you've got the baby, the real living thing in front of you, you don't realize how difficult it is. So I remember one of my friends from Pregnant Then Screwed, her name is Jolie. She's doing incredible work with women who are pregnant and who have kids, especially during the pandemic, because so much has changed for women in terms of like childcare, giving birth in hospitals. She called me up when I think it was just after I'd protested, maybe about a month after that. So I must have been about 6-7 months pregnant then. And one thing, the first thing she did ask me was, are you taking care of yourself? And nobody really asked me that, because at that time it was just go, go, go. You know, you just have to get things done. And she did say that it is exhausting and it is tiring. And I really underestimated that. And I didn't appreciate that enough, because now it's been about 10 months since I've protested and I've been campaigning. And I'm not saying it's ended. It's going to carry on. It's going to continue. But it is tiring. And you feel like you always have to be in the thick of it. You always feel like you have to be in the middle of everything. And when a news story comes out, you have to be ready to tweet about it, or you have to be ready to comment on it and have an opinion. And sometimes you forget that actually by doing that, you're putting in all your energy into that, and that leaves you very little to give to yourself. And in my case now too, Radhika. So before, I wasn't giving much to myself, and that was kind of okay, because I was like, well, as doctors, we're kind of used to that, you know, just going into hospital and then having breakfast at like 2 p.m. and then having lunch at like 7 p.m. By the time you get home, you just go straight to bed. And then you wake up the next day and you do the same thing again. That's basically our life. We forget to put our needs first. And I feel like that rhetoric has just sort of continued in my, I would say, new life of campaigning and activism. But now with a baby, I have to really take care of my energy and take care of the time I have, because I have to give it to her. And I realize that there are so many reasons why people have gone into to like drug addiction, and people go into really dangerous forms of dealing with things. I mean, you look at people like Russell Brand, for example, and he became really famous, and his life kind of took a really terrible turn when he became addicted to heroin and became addicted to drugs, because this life of of always being at the front is not easy. And I'm not saying that I'm a superstar or I'm like just as famous as Russell Brand. That's not what I'm saying at all. And I'm not even saying that I've considered any of these things, but I'm saying that you need an outlet, because these journalists and people on Twitter, people on social media can really get to you, and you feel like you have an obligation to always give. And there are only very few people who remind you that actually you need to take care of yourself. And Jolie was one of those people who said, Minal, it's tough, especially with a new baby along the way. You have to take care of yourself. And I've only really started to appreciate that now. Radhika is a handful, man. Like, she's not a newborn baby anymore where you just put her on your breast and she feeds and she goes to bed. She has an opinion about everything now. She's looking at the room, she's looking at who's around her, she's looking at the TV. She doesn't want anything else but me sometimes. And she knows when I'm on my phone. She knows when I'm on my phone, and she gets really cranky when she realizes that she's not getting that attention. So I actually thought it would get easier, but I think it's getting a bit more difficult now because she's starting to shape as a real human. So I really felt this hit over the last few days of exhaustion and tiredness. And the good thing is I've started to understand the triggers and the signals now. And I did tell Nishan that I do need a bit of time off. So luckily he's had some time off work as well, so he's managed to help me. Sorry, I was just taking a sip of my coffee because, you know, tiredness is just a chronic thing now for me. but the announcement yesterday was something I preempted. Like, I knew it was going to happen. I knew this was coming my way. And my parents had a flight book next week. And that for me was my saving grace, right? I said, look, I'll get through this week. Once my parents come, then I'll be fine. Because if I have a couple of weeks where I can just focus on doing all the podcasting, doing all my writing, doing all my stuff that I enjoy doing, then that gives me a bit of a boost, right? And then I can go back to being a mom and doing all that stuff again. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if my parents can make it. And not even that, like, my parents are so desperate to see Radhika now, and she's growing up so fast, and they're just seeing her on video call, and it sucks, man. It really sucks. I woke up on Monday morning with the heaviest heart. I think I woke up at like 3 a.m. and I couldn't get back to sleep. So I tried to figure out what was really bothering me. And the only thing that really helps in that situation, and I always say this all the time, but it's either fresh air or doing some exercise and spending 10, 15 minutes just meditating on it. And I realized that in the first lockdown, things were a bit easier in the sense that it was sunnier, the weather was nicer. And I guess I had a bit of time to relax and watch Netflix, watch a film when I wanted to. But I feel like I don't have any of that anymore. I mean, I just look out the window now and it's snowing. I mean, there's no way I can go out for a long run because it's too bloody cold, and I don't want to do that. I can't play table tennis. I can't do all the things that I was hoping I'd be able to do now. And this is the thing about motherhood, right? That people say motherhood is easy, but there are a lot of solutions to combat the tiredness, the depression. But all of that is not there anymore. I mean, Radhika hasn't seen another baby before. We were in the park the other day, and Radhika, for the first time, probably saw children playing on a swing and in the park, because usually she's on a pram. But I actually took her out of the pram and said, look, let me just show her what is happening around her. And she was just completely fascinated because she's never seen another child before. And all of this has been taken away from her. And it's nobody's fault. It's just what's happening. It's just the way that the world is right now. And we're all in a very difficult position. But it breaks my heart that we've had to go through this. I feel like my pregnancy was robbed from me. I feel like my maternity leave has been robbed from me. I was hoping that at this time I'd be in Gibraltar with my parents, because maternity leave is the only time you actually get paid to have time off, and I'm never going to get this time again. And all this time I've been locked in, and it sucks. It really sucks. But the question is that what is the solution? What is what can we do about it? And this is why I say, like, this is why I'm doing all this campaigning and activism, because I have so much built up energy and stress and frustration that I have to channel it into something positive. And for everyone who told me I was wrong, for everyone who told me that I wasn't doing the right thing, for everyone who still keeps telling me that, Meenal, you don't need to do this, there are other people who can solve the problem. Yeah, there are other people who can solve the problem, but I think I'd be more stressed just sitting at home and doing nothing. So, yeah, I just realized I went on another rant about why lockdown is bothering me. But yeah, I mean, everyone's going through the same thing. On Monday, I woke up feeling shit, and the whole day I just felt like doom was approaching, because I knew what was coming our way. I knew what was going to happen. I was been reading up on all this for a long, long time now, and I knew it was going to happen. And I'm kind of glad I felt that way, because when the announcement happened, I was quite happy. I was like, look, whatever, we'll just get on with it, you know? So I went through that phase of grief and frustration. But now it's a question of, well, what do we do now? I mean, everyone is facing this sort of COVID fatigue, not just healthcare workers on the front line, but just the general public. We had like Clap for Carers. We had free things for the NHS. We had discount for NHS stuff, all of this. This isn't going to last forever. People are not going to give us free stuff forever. People are not going to empathize with us forever. So I just wonder how other people feel. And I want to know how you feel, because there are people right now who are listening who may have had COVID and understand the gravity of the situation and understand why it's important to be locked in. There are people who are also suffering from long COVID, and one of the guests who will be on the show next Friday is suffering from long COVID. She got COVID in March last year, and we're in January now. So you can imagine the long-term effects of this and how it really impacts people. So she was actually telling me that if people actually knew the lasting effects of COVID, maybe more people will actually follow the rules. And maybe that is the case. And all this thing about like misinformation, anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers, is there a solution to all of this? I don't know. And I keep asking myself the same question, that how important is it to actually have a debate? How important is it to have those who are pro-vaccine and those who are anti-vaccine? Because I don't know what the world would be like if we all agreed, if we all like agreed on the same thing. Maybe the world wouldn't be as interesting. Maybe the world will just be really boring and we just all got on with our lives. But I feel like maybe that's what we need right now, because there's been a hyper radicalization of people, and news has been spreading in such a way now with social media that maybe it is time for all of us to have this reset and hit the reset button. And I think I need that. I think I just need a huge reset, because our campaigning and our activism hasn't finished. So I did say I would start off with good news, but I mean, I'm like 15 minutes in now and I still haven't really gone into the happy stuff, but I've let that out. And I hope that you listening to me has also allowed you to come to some sort of sanity as well, that I'm also going through this. Remember, I'm the one who's out there, and you probably think, well, Meenal knows everything, so she'll be okay. Actually, I'm going through all the feelings that you are as well. And our campaigning and activism hasn't finished. So a few weeks ago, I say a few weeks ago, but last week, just before the holidays, the government got back to us and said, look, these are the changes we're going to make. Let's not take it to court. And to be honest, Nishant and I were very, very happy, because we feel like we made much more change on the ground than we would have if we had gone to court. Because, I mean, I haven't studied law, but from what I know, that the High Court judge always wants to know why we wanted to change things. And the High Court judge probably would have said, well, things have changed now, so what's your point, right? I mean, we've been fighting for this since April. And obviously, they've changed PPE guidelines. They've changed the supply of protective gear for doctors. So the judge will just be like, well, it's all changed, so what do you want? But our concerns were a bit more intricate than that, actually. So for those of you who haven't been following me for some time, to cut a long story short, I protested outside Downing Street last April, and it's just going back to what I was saying earlier. I had to channel my frustration, I had to channel my energy into something. So I went out and I protested, and I knew that healthcare workers needed to be protected. So we took the government to court, And we've come to a conclusion now that those who are working on the front line need high-grade protective gear. And it was because we saw people dying. We saw pregnant doctors, pregnant healthcare workers getting unwell. And in one particular instance, Nurse Mary Adjipong, who works in the same hospital as Nishant, had passed away. And for me, that wasn't okay. So we've been campaigning for doctors' rights and protection. And it's one of those things that has a much more bigger story than what you see on the news, right? It wasn't just a case of, we're in a pandemic, I want protection, I don't want my colleagues to die, I'm going to protest. It's so much more than that, because I've realized that over the last few weeks, I've had a bit of time to introspect. And as doctors, we've suffered a lot. You know, we had to fight to get into medical school. We had to do all these exams. We spent years of our life just dedicating our life to medicine. And our parents had to sacrifice so much. We come out in over £100,000 of debt. And then we come here to serve the public. We come here to serve the government, who underpay us, which we've been speaking about for a while now, but that doesn't matter. We're doing night shifts, we're doing on-calls, we're overworked, underpaid, and then we get treated like shit. We get treated in a way that we wouldn't have ever expected in a global health crisis. I mean, I remember at one point I was using something quite close to a bin liner to see my patients, and I was pregnant. And I remember wearing a mask and vomiting inside my mask because I was feeling so sick. And you talk about this new strain, and I really think it's all down to ventilation. And hospitals are the worst place for ventilation, I feel, especially in winter now with the heaters on. This new strain is going to spread around unless rooms are ventilated. And I remember working in a ward where it was almost like it was in a dungeon, so it was built underground. And this is just one of those things, right? The NHS is so underfunded that hospitals, when they're trying to rebuild and revamp wards and resources and facilities, they're quite stuck as to how to do it. So this new ward is actually underground, or it was built in a really weird way. So at that time when we were in the first wave, I mean, I'm just thinking about it now, like I was just sweating in my scrubs, wearing that mask, wearing this protective gear. It was all so much. And then despite going through all of that, I just asked for a mask and I got told off. I got a bollocking for it. And how did I actually go through that? I think sometimes like I went through so much crap, and not just me, people went through much, much worse. In fact, people are going through much, much worse now. And it doesn't have to be this way. And it really breaks my heart. And I know that some of you are just thinking like, well, the whole world is going through this. Well, yeah, the whole world is going through this. But actually, unless you're on the front line working on the floor, you don't know what the reality is. And put all of that to one side. Forget doctors. So many of the elderly population is stuck at home now. And for them to hear the news last night must be so traumatic. I mean, one of our neighbors who lives next door has been locked in since last year, and he lives alone. Like, I don't know if his relatives can come see him. And if he becomes unwell, who is he going to call? Is he going to be one of those people who's going to have to go into hospital and say goodbye to his family on a Zoom video? Like, you know, how much more of this do we have to see? And I'm tired. I really am. But I also know at the same time that I can't be tired, because a lot of people need people like me. A lot of people need us to keep going. So doing this podcast, for example, is one of the things that keep me going. Seeing your messages on Instagram, seeing your messages on Twitter, and seeing all the love that pours in really makes everything all the worthwhile. And I had a good cry yesterday. I think I let it all out. And I don't think I even got to the point about our legal challenge, but essentially we won. The government have conceded and said, look, these are the changes we're going to make. And the funny thing is, the government actually put out a statement, and this is from the Department of Health and Social Care. And they said changes were made not because of any litigation, but because of the government's policies and plans. And I'm like, that's obviously bullshit. I mean, the government are not going to release the data, and the government are not going to tell people that doctors took them to court and they had to give in. So that just shows that change can happen and change can be made. And it's one of those things that I always tell people that you can't be impatient. You can't be impatient when you want to create change. It might take years, it might take months. And we're in 2021. I was hoping that when we set out to court and when we sent our very first letter, within a month things would be solved. In fact, then after that, when it didn't solve in a month, I actually thought that I'd be giving birth to Radhika and we would be celebrating Radhika's birth and our win. But that didn't happen either. And look, we're here in January now and it's only just happened now. So it just goes to show, it really just goes to show that change takes time and you have to be patient. And it's the kind of thing that I can sort of translate into my own personal projects as well. Like, you know, we all want our podcast to be the number one hit. We all want our cookbooks to be the best. We all want our novels to be published, but it takes time. And if there's anyone who can show you that it can happen, I guess I hope I can be that living proof to all of you. And I hope that anybody who's listening now understands the importance of having a side passion or a hobby and using those things to channel your frustration and channel your energy into, because a lot of revelation a lot of revelation comes through that. And you start to understand the intricacies of your own thinking and your own thought process. And it's very nourishing. It's very therapeutic. So I really do suggest, even if it's like 10 minutes of meditation, you go on YouTube, you can find like guided meditation. So there's this really, really fancy lady who talks in a really soothing voice like this. And it's a bit like she's holding your hand and she's going to go in and give you a massage and rub your head. And it really does feel like she's standing right next to you and she guides you through 10 minutes of meditation. And I feel like it's really helped me. So I had a lot more I want to talk about, but we're getting to the half an hour mark and I need to make sure that I answer your questions before Radhika wakes up, because she's down now for her morning nap. So let's see what we have. Also, before I go into your questions, I just want to say that the one thing that really got me going this morning and yesterday was, if you go onto to Matt Haig's Twitter account or even his Instagram. So Matt Haig is the author of Midnight Library, and I'm a huge, huge fan. Midnight Library is one of the books that changed my life. So the book is essentially about somebody who tries to commit suicide, and in front of her, there are many other lives that she could have had. And essentially in every life, there's a problem. So it's one of those things that make you think, well, if you wanted another option, if you wanted another alternative, could your life actually be better? And it's just that saying, right, that the grass is green on the other side. And Matt Haig's book takes you into a world where you realize that you actually have to be so much more grateful than you already are. And the gratitude you have for life sort of balloons after you read this book. And I highly, highly recommend it. But anyway, Matt Haig tweeted out, I think it was yesterday morning. And he said, this is his tweet. He said, I had a terrible day yesterday. Just putting that out there in case anyone feels alone in their misery. The news got to me. Work got to me. My mind got to me. Life got to me. I felt trapped in my own maze. Bad days feel eternal, but they aren't. There is always a new morning ahead. And that is so true. You know, we can get sort of wrapped up into our feelings that we forget that there are better days coming. And yeah, it is winter, it is quite shit, but summer is coming, spring is coming, and these are the things that I'm looking forward to. So I hope that helps anybody right now who's listening, who's going through a difficult time, because it is a tough time, and I think it's really important we try to share as much wisdom and happiness as we can. So let me just open up my Instagram, because I did have a few DMs. So my first DM is, so let's see where we are. So my first DM is from someone has asked me the same question, and I answer this all the time. And the question is, why did you leave the Desi Outsiders? And I've answered this question before, and I don't want to keep going into the politics of it, the intricacies of it, because actually there are so many sides to a story. There's an ugly side, there's a happy side. And I don't want to delve deep into the ugly side, because of course there were ugly parts to it, and I've only shown the happy side to it. I won't say happy side, but the positive side to it. And I've tried to get through it in a very constructive way. But let's put it this way. When two people start something together and you're living completely different lives, you have to remember that the trajectory of your life will be different. And I didn't appreciate that enough. When I was studying in medical school, I thought I'd have all the time in the world. I'd have all the resources available to me. I'd have all the money where I can just focus on the podcast. And things changed when I became a doctor. Things changed when I had to work. And there were days when I was a student where I put the podcast as a priority, but I couldn't really do that anymore as a doctor. And life changes, your priorities change, and people do grow apart. And I'm sure that's happened to a lot of people in the pandemic, where you've lived a completely different experience to maybe your neighbor or your friends or even your family. And that's okay. And if it means that you have to go your separate ways, then fine. And I have to say that when I did make that decision to take a step back, because I felt like my values weren't being aligned with Ankita's, and I felt like I had a different vision, it was ugly. I mean, we had to confront this, and we had to say, look, how can we come out of this? And it wasn't easy. I was getting married at the time, and a few ugly things were said to one another. And I remember one Sunday night receiving an email from Ankita and feeling quite shit about it. And it happens. These things happen. But I came out of it in a constructive way, in a productive way. And I said, look, I have to start again. And it actually hasn't even been a year of the release of Meenal's World. It will be a year next month. And it took a few months for me to just get my head together and align my vision to what I actually want. And I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, the lockdown has changed everything. The pandemic has changed everything. It's changed who I am as a person. But these are the things that you have to appreciate. So there's no one answer as to why I left AC Outsiders, but all I'll say is that people drift, things change, and that's life. That's all I'm going to say. Because Ankita has to share her side of a story whenever she wants, whenever she's ready. And I've shared mine, and I don't really want to go into that again. But thank you for the question. For those of you maybe who haven't heard me speak about it, this might be the first time. So I hope that's a clear answer to you all. My next question is also on Instagram. Hold on, I had it open here. Let me just see where it is. Because I posted this story and people were replying to the stickers. So just finding it. Okay, so this question is from a medical student. And she has asked me, how can we get into campaigning and how we can get into activism? Now, I think there's no one answer to this. There's lots of things you can do. I've made a video about it, and I do have to post it still. I have to go through the editing and all that. But essentially what I'll say is that a lot of us have a lot of passions, a lot of things that we're passionate about. But write it down and try to make it a bit more precise and a bit more linear. So if you're involved in, I would say, for example, you want to work with women and you want to work with females, actually break it down. Is it the gender pay gap? Is it the fact that women in certain parts of the world should receive more education? Is it about reproductive rights? So once you have that aligned, and once you have a bit more of a clear vision of the kind of work you want to do, then you can start sort of researching the kind of people who can help you. And I think that there are lots of campaigns, lots of charities, lots of organizations you can work with. But first, it's important to write down your values and the kind of people you want to work with. And I would say research these charities, research these organizations, because it might just be that they might be doing the thing that excites you, but it might not be the kind of vision you have for yourself in that organization. And it's really important to picture yourself in an organization before you actually try and get to working with them, because these organizations are really busy, these charities are really busy, and you have to approach them and say, look, this is how I can help you, this is what I can bring to the table, this is what I can do differently for you. And this is what people need now, because charities have been very affected by the pandemic. Organizations are desperate for any sort of help. try and be proactive in that way and try and make their life a bit easier. So once you start working with charities and organizations, I think from there things start to move on, because I started working with Binti in March last year, and it was Mandeep who really helped me get through my campaigning, because I found what I liked and she sort of mentored me through that. So once you get into an organization and charity, then things start to build from there. And everyone has their own history. Everyone has their own story of campaigning and activism. I'm not going to write that for you. That's something that you have to find. But you have to make sure that your vision and your plan is very accurate and very specific as well. I hope that helps. And I will be releasing a video in the next few days, hopefully, when I get a chance to edit everything, about the kind of things that you can do to campaign and to get involved in the things you're really passionate about. So, oh, wow, what a day it's been, what a morning it's been, what a weekend it's been, and what a start to the year it's been. But I want to thank you all for being by my side and for always listening, you know, and always understanding my restrictions and understanding that there are times where I can't come out on a Tuesday early morning, but it'll be a bit later. And for all the love, I'm so grateful for it all, because you guys really got me through the pandemic and you guys really got me through the lockdown. So please share the podcast with your friends and family. We do have guests every Friday. Remember to subscribe on Spotify and iTunes. I hate saying this every week, but I feel like I have to, because the more people subscribe, the more the word gets out there. And that's essentially what we want. So I'll see you all on Friday. Have a lovely week ahead. My DMs on Instagram and on Twitter are always open. If there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. Sending you all a big, big hug, and I'll see you on Friday.